or Bayville's last.
Okay, you're ready.
We're ready.
Are we having fun yet, or what?
It's on my paper, it's on my paper. I have four agendas while I got Larry. We'll call the afternoon session of Sessas County Council back to order. This afternoon, we have three public hearings. By the looks of these books, it's in book form, so you don't have to make any presentations. We have conditional use number 1665, LT Associates LLC. At this time, I'll turn it over to legal counsel.
We have another matter from this morning.
Excuse me. I'd like to call Mr. Izzo to the podium real quick to finish up this morning's agenda.
Yeah, just to bring you up to speed on the item we discussed this morning, the two consultants that were discussed, the proposed aviation consultant is Urban Engineers Incorporated. I provided you with the 254 of Urban Engineers of Philadelphia, who is the aviation consultant, as well as a 254 form for Urban Research and Development Corporation, who is the selected land use consultant. You can see on the top sheet the 254 form. Urban Engineers of Philadelphia is a large firm, total of 411 people, with 8 or 9 offices in various locations, none of which are Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. If you flip to the second sheet, you see the 254 form for the Land Use Consultant Urban Research and Development Corporation. They list themselves as a parent company and under item number 4 as a small business, which indicates they are not a subsidiary of any other company, and they have a total of 20 personnel. So you can see they have similar names, but there are no ties between the two companies in question.
Okay, we have to have a motion. Can a motion be?
Yeah. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the consultant selection team that the Urban Engineers Incorporated be selected to provide engineering services for aviation-related activities at the Sussex County Airport for a 5-year period effective this date.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second. Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Dukes to approve the motion for the consultant for the airport. For being Urban Engineers Incorporated. Okay. Let the record show that Mr. Feltz will not be present this afternoon due to personal business. Call for the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mike?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll refer to legal counsel to describe how Mr. Griffin will conduct the public hearings this afternoon for the three that we have before us. Mr. Griffin.
Thank you. Just a brief word about the procedure that we'll be following. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're legislative hearings. Council uses the information that it receives during these hearings to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning ordinance in the manner requested by the applicant. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank, who's the director of planning and zoning, will give a report to the council about what happened at the commission hearing, and he'll provide any documents or exhibits that came in at that hearing. After he has done that, then the applicant will be called on to explain and present their application and give council the reasons why they believe it should be adopted. If the applicant has witnesses, after those witnesses are called and everyone on the applicant side has been heard, an opportunity will be given for anyone else who might be present who wishes to speak either in support of or in opposition to the application. After all sides have been heard, then council will decide whether to keep the record open until a later date or to close the public hearing record. If the Planning and Zoning Commission has not yet made a recommendation, council will typically defer in order to receive that report before council makes its decision. If you have a cell phone or paging device, if you don't mind, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. If you are planning to speak, when you come to the speaker stand, so that we'll be able to identify who you were on the record, if the need arises, please state your name and your address before you make your statement. Does anyone have any questions about the procedure? Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. The first public hearing is conditional use number 1665. It's the application of LT Associates, LLC. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a professional medical office complex to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 20.433 acres, more or less, lying east of Warrington Road, also known as Road 275, and 200 feet southeast of Route 24. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 10th of 2006. Prior to the public hearing with the commission, the applicants provided an exhibit booklet. I've provided a copy for all members of council and Mr. Griffin of that same document. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department. Bill Lingo of LT Associates LLC was present with Gene Byard and Tom Ford of Land Design Incorporated and gave testimony. Mr. Ford also submitted a drawing of a typical lease lot layout and an aerial map depicting the location of existing business and commercial uses along Route 54 for the record. That is to be exhibited again this afternoon. Robert Hood was present in support of the application, but did express some concerns about the project, which are a part of my report. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action in case Mr. Johnson, who was absent, wants to review the record so that he may participate in the vote on this application. For the record, the commission is this application is scheduled for discussion again Thursday evening as old business. I received one additional item from agencies, being the Sussex Conservation District. It is in the form of a memorandum dated August 14th. We are advised that the soils are mapped to be Rumford Loamy Sand and Sassafras Sandy Loam, and also Sassafras Loam. All three soil types have slight limitations for development purposes. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. The Rumford soils are considered of statewide importance. The Sassafras soils are considered prime farmland type soils. There are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, and it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared of the site and also a copy of a portion of soil survey map number 29, which also depicts the site and the area surrounding it. And gentlemen, that's all I have. Let's have questions.
Any questions, Mr. Langdon?
Is the applicant represented?
Yes, sir, Mr. Griffin. Gene Byard on behalf of LT Associates. With me today are Tom Ford, who will walk you through the project booklet and the site plan, and Bill Lingo, who will testify not as a principal of LT Associates, but as a realtor about the property and surrounding properties and the nature and trend of development in the area. Before I turn the microphone over to Tom, by way of history, when I started practicing law in Sussex County almost 32 years ago, there were 14 lawyers in Georgetown. Now there are more than 140, and that's maybe not a good thing. On the other hand, at Beebe Hospital, there were 17 physicians in 1974. There are now 188 active physicians. Over time, as we know, Beebe's campus in Lewis has grown to the point where it's bursting at the seams. And as you know, because you've heard many a conditional use on Savannah Road is now predominated by medical offices. This application is designed to be an adjunct to the Beebe Medical Center complex on 24 and to complement its activities by locating at least 10 and possibly more medical offices on one site that immediately join the 24 medical campus and will be served in part by access through that medical campus. With that, Tom, if you could come forward and briefly take council through the project booklet and walk council through the site plan.
This is for Tom Ford, Land Design. Good afternoon. Just to give a brief overlay of what we're proposing here, I want to just introduce you to the site. It's located off of Route 1 here. Here's Warrington Plantation Road. There's 20 acres right in here. BB Medical Center is adjacent with the 35 acres to the east of us. We are, for outfall reasons and stormwater reasons, the owner of this site is also the owner of the land across the way, and we are looking at a outfall location which we're including. So we have 20 acres that we're actually developing, and then we are, through an easement, looking at another 3 acres for stormwater connection to the top of Arnold Creek, which then leads to Rehoboth Bay. The site can, in a summary form, is proposing about 150 square feet of medical office buildings and associated professionals. We're looking at it being done on a campus-like character. We are a compatible and complementary use to the BB Medical Center, and we have a letter in your booklet that describes their approval of this plan and the connection that we're proposing to that campus through the back portion of our property. We are, our main access to the site would be along Warrington Road. We have done a TIS and have coordinated with DelDOT on site distance and location of that entry. There'll be a boulevard with an entry feature that announces that this is a medical complex. We are looking at basically 10 1 acre plus opportunities to build a variety of different types of buildings. Predominantly, the plan is calling for about a 9,000 to 10,000 square foot building with the associated parking being 45-50 spaces. The unique part of the plan, and I'd like to hand out, which Lawrence, this is in your booklet, but it's in a black and white form. The colored forms are a little easier to follow. But the unique part of the plan is to, number one, create a pedestrian environment, place a campus central core park-like area in the center of the site, encourage buildings to be close to the central drive area. And the way we do that is not by having a building setback, but by having a build to line. So we're proposing a 30-foot build to line, which will bring buildings closer to the travelway. Therefore, not allowing enough space for vehicular parking and so forth in the front, we're trying to encourage all the parking on the peripheral portions of the property, and we're putting in buffers along the four residential properties that are just to the north here. There'll also be buffers along the Hood property of 20 feet and 20 feet, and we even have a buffer that's along the medical complex, but we probably won't probably make a connection with them visually on that. We're encouraging shared drives and pedestrian walkways. We have crosswalks and so forth into the park-like area. As each building would come on site, they would need to propose a site plan that showed the appropriate parking, and there would be the shared drive. Signage is down to there'll be an entry feature sign, and then each of the buildings will have signs with what they're basically servicing.
Tom, this is in a level two area on the state strategies for spending map. What did PLUS tell you about this project?
PLUS actually supports the idea that they suggested the build to language. We were suggesting the 30-foot setback. They were saying, can you bring that to a build to? So they actually added that language to this proposal. Because that assures the concept that the buildings will be forward and the parking in the rear. They also supported very strongly the interconnectivity between the two sites with BB Medical Center. They supported the project in general terms, just simply because it is level two. It is consistent with the development patterns in the area. And the one other item they supported was the rear drive. Each of these lights site plan that every one of them will have. There'll be a drive along the whole back course for delivery trucks, or if you had other doctors that you needed to see, you don't have to keep driving back out on the road or whatever. There's an area in the back that would be completely around. Thus is why we have an 85-foot setback in the rear for any buildings, because we want to maintain that capability and travel way and parking in the rear.
All right, if you could take council briefly through the project book, we'll just address each item in the table of contents for a second.
We started the project. We contacted a few consultants as we went along here. We did our due diligence. We had survey, topo, got the woodlands and the wetland delineation. Evelyn Moormeyer did a wetlands report. There are no wetlands on the site. The DelDOT did require a TIS, and we've got that report, and we'll be working with DelDOT on those improvements. And we then did soils work. We hired Atlantic Resource Management to look at the infiltration capabilities of the stormwater that we're proposing. The site is in a wellhead cone, so we are concerned with that. We have also contacted a senior hydrogeologist who gave a cursory report on the nature of what we're doing and saw no problem with a sewered commercial change of land use that would produce less nutrients, less nitrates and phosphates, and would help protect the groundwater source there, as well as the infiltration practice that we're proposing on stormwater, which would have equal or better capabilities than what's presently on the farmland. We went through the application with PLUS. We responded to the environmentally sensitive area with a development report. That would be in tab 3 of your report. We believe we're in compliance with zoning and that there's this use is a conditional use in an AR1 area. And we believe we're consistent with surrounding land uses. The booklet in tab 4 shows you zoning maps, aerial maps, site plans, site data, survey, tax maps, floodplain maps, quad maps, soils maps. We also contacted Delaware's Natural Heritage to seek any listing of endangered species of flora and fauna, of which there is none of record, which is not surprising because it has been farmed for decades and decades, and there's really no vegetative growth other than crops on the sites. That's both where we're projecting stormwater as well as the site improvements. We've met with soil conservation. We've run through the concept with them and the easement. We've discussed even the crossover and conduit for that connection with DelDOT under the road. And we believe from an engineering standpoint and the cursory review of grades that can all be handled. From a sensitivity point on our neighbors, we are proposing a very dense growth of trees and a 20-foot buffer for the residents, as well as drainage will occur to this side of the site, which Mr. Hood was concerned with. We believe that we will have no leakage of that drainage, either through a depression berm, and I think my client is willing to put up a fence, because I think he also voiced concerns on trash and windblown debris that may occur from the site. In this particular booklet, you'll find in tab 8, we do have an open space management plan. I think it's unique that we're proposing a commercial use with open space and a park-like setting, but I think from a health standpoint facility, we're looking to create that kind of a healthy environment when people come in. There's also going to be landscape standards. We've outlined those in tab 8B, and there will be architectural design standards, not fully developed, but they are bulleted at the very end of tab 8.
Questions of Tom Ford, gentlemen.
Yep. On the engineering's comments about square footage and sewer capacity, it says they have up to capacity is available at this time for up to 81,700 square feet of professional medical. And what are you guys proposing?
We're proposing about 150.
Okay, so...
So it would be a phased project. Bob Stickles wrote a letter, I believe it's in tab 5A, 5B, which also addresses the phased nature of the sewer. We would be looking for an extension to the West Rehoboth expansion, which is in the South Planning District, but we're also right on the line in the North Planning District, which Bob addresses that we could become a priority project on that, so that phase two could then move forward after phase one.
And it says where the developer is going to be required to participate in all the upgrades. Financially, you guys have no problem paying for these upgrades?
That's a fact of life.
Okay.
Other questions to Tom? If not, Bill, you want to come forward?
We can pass them down for you.
My name is Bill Lingo. I live in Hinopen Acres. I'm a licensed Delaware realtor. I'm a Delaware licensed certified real property appraiser. And also, I'm an expert witness on property values. I would like to discuss the change in land use along the Route 24 corridor between Route 1 and Love Creek. The land fronting on Route 24 is in a transition, changing from single family residential use to other uses to include commercial, conditional uses, and others. I have provided you with an aerial map identifying locations where the land use has changed or is in a pre-existing use. I believe there are 17 properties reflecting a use other than residential or possibly a grandfathered use. And if you'd refer to that map, I'll name those locations to you. One is Robinson I, two is BB Medical Complex, three is Beacon Middle School, four are Studios on 24, five Mid-Atlantic Family Practice, six Midway Service, seven, Beach Homes, eight, Artistic Design, nine, Herring Chiropractors, 10, the Beach Families Barnyard, 11, Windswept Riding Stables, 12, Dormous Clams, 13, Cops Clams, 14, Top of the Line Janitorial Services, 15, Hudson Homes, 16, Maplewood Dentist, and 17, Apple Electric. I believe this trend will continue on the Route 24 corridor. Another very good example of this change is the land use that's taken place on Savannah Road in Lewis. The highest and best use of the property fronting on Savannah Road has changed from residential to professional offices and other commercial uses. And property values have benefited from that change in that land use. Therefore, it is my opinion that the impact of our project on the surrounding neighbors will be positive and actually create value. We are compatible with the BB Medical Complex, and I believe we will be a financially positive opportunity for our residential neighbors fronting on Route 24. It is my opinion within 10 years, doctors will be looking at those homes for purchase to convert to offices, just like what's happened on Savannah Road in Lewis. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I have a question about that, but I don't know, Gene, who you can ask, but when you're going to take the stormwater across the road and down on the headwaters of Arnell Creek, has the state Denrec looked at that?
It's part of soil conservation's obligation to look at that.
But you don't have any comments about whether that's a good idea or bad idea?
Than the standard comments that soil conservation submits. It requires obviously more detailed planning, but it's a good thing that the landowner developing this property and the landowner across the street are one and the same.
Right, but I didn't know if stormwater is good to have it.
Nothing has been developed in any detail at this stage, George.
If there's a problem there, what happens? Stormwater goes on site?
No, it's either redesigned on the across the street property. It could go on site. There are a variety of solutions, but that's to be engineered.
Is it going to be a pond? Does anybody know what it's going to be?
At this stage, I believe Tom has said at the commission that it would be a series of swales or depressions that would handle the water, but that remains to be designed.
Okay, the only other question I have, well, following that up, do you own the property all around that site? Is that part of your, or is there neighboring property owners that would be aware that this is happening? They may not know that there's going to be some kind of...
Okay, on 24, there are four residential houses. Behind us is the BB Medical Complex.
But I'm talking about near this...
We own, yes.
All around it?
Yes.
Is your land, right?
Yes.
So you're not impacting anybody with that?
Actually, George, I think there's a positive outfall.
Huh?
A positive outfall capability, meaning there's a...
Okay, no, I just wondered if you know, neighbors knew anything.
There's no impact whatsoever. Mr. Hood expressed some concerns at the commission hearing, but his concerns were more addressed to engineering questions that will be resolved in the site plan review process. His concerns were, he suggested a berm between his property and this property to avoid flooding his property. That's certainly one alternative. And another concern he had was that people were dumping trash and debris on his property, and a fence is something that...
Mr. Hood owns the land up there going towards the Coastal Highway.
No, right. He owns land going south on 275. That's wooded parcel. That is where his home is, and he is the guy who sold the land to BB for its medical
complex. Right.
Anyway, gentlemen, that's the application. It's pretty straightforward. It is, again, designed to complement the BB Medical Complex as the size and scope of medical care in this eastern side of the county continues to grow. We think it's appropriate for your consideration as a conditional use, and again, we're glad to answer any questions you have.
Thank you.
P&Z's not come up with any conditions. Do you have any conditions that you'd like submitted?
We would like to do that, but the practice now is that Mr. Robertson draws conditions. We would
you know, many times applicants show us what they like.
That's the good old days, not anymore. We
Why
submit
not?
Them and they're rejected. That's Mr. Robertson's wife. He would rather come up with his own conditions based on what he hears at the public hearing.
Okay. So you have, okay.
Actually, the commission comes up with a recommendation. Mr.
Right.
Robertson put them in legal format.
Right, I understand. I've seen many attorneys have.
That's after.
You will.
That was
I guess
that.
You have to pay extra.
That's
for
usually
that?
If they make a recommendation.
That was then, this is now.
That's right. And I enjoyed them.
Okay. No, it's all right. I understand.
It's the Rogers administration.
I guess. Fuquay has them all the time.
That's right.
You got to pay more for Fuquay?
For anyone else,
I think Sergeyevich has them sometimes.
No, let's get that.
For anyone who else here who wishes to speak in support of this application, for anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application or who has a concern about it, let the record show that no one else has to be recognized either for or against.
Make a motion we defer.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Dukes, to defer on conditional use 1665. That of LT Associates, LLC. Deferred by planning and zoning. Questions? Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
I vote yes. Next case.
Next case is conditional use number 1666. The application of Wilkinson Properties, LLC. An application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 28.18 acres, more or less, lying at the northwest corner of Route 9 and Hudson Road, also known as Road 258. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on August 10th, 2006. Prior to the meeting of the commission, the applicant provided the commission with an exhibit booklet. That same exhibit booklet is provided for you gentlemen this afternoon. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Planning and Permit Division. Steve Wilkinson of Wilkinson Properties LLC was present with Gene Byard, attorney, Kevin Burdett, and Keith Rudy of McCrone Incorporated. And Joe Conaway is a realtor, who all gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. There were four parties present living either in Lazy Lake or along Hudson Road in opposition to the application. They gave testimony, which is also part of the report. The commission found by show of hands that 12 parties were present in opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application, made a motion and a second, and carried unanimously to defer action in case Mr. Johnson wants to review the record so he may participate in the vote on this application, and that motion carried 4-0. For the benefit, I'll receive some additional comments. One, we received a memo from Cape Henlopen School District. In summary, given the relative size of the townhouse development planned east of Harbison, we would hope to be able to serve additional students who might be generated. We would, however, request that the county and developers begin considering impact fees, and in the case of larger developments, land set aside for additional schools. Cape Henlopen is currently experiencing large enrollment increases and will need assistance in meeting the needs of the growing population, and look forward to discussing these issues with you shortly. That was addressed to Mr. Kevin Burdett of McCroom. We also received a letter from Steve Wilkinson, addressed to Mark Tudor of DelDOT. Makes reference to the project, makes reference to the commission's public hearing on August 10th, and notes during the hearing several residents from the Lazy Lake community adjacent to my proposed development voiced their concerns about heavy traffic at the intersection of Route 9 and Hudson Road. It states if DelDOT is planning on installing a traffic signal at the above mentioned intersection, I would like to contribute to this improvement. And we also have a letter from Artesian Resources in reference to this application. It's addressed to the applicant. In this case, it brought to our attention that several concerns regarding delivery of water and wastewater services were raised during public hearing on August 10th. We're sending this letter to further define the delivery of services and to provide assurance to the questions asked at the hearing are not a concern. In reference to water service will be provided to the community from regional water system during being developed by Artesian Water Company. The water system will contain several wells, which will draw water from deep confined aquifers. The wells will be permitted by DENREC, and allocations will be assigned to each well, limiting the amount of water that can be drawn from them. The entire process, including site selection, permitting, and well allocations, is completed to ensure that there is no disturbance or interference with the existing wells located in the area. In reference to wastewater service, Artesian Wastewater Management will provide wastewater service to the community. Artesian utilizes state-of-the-art wastewater treatment technologies to treat the wastewater to secondary and tertiary standards that create an almost drinking water quality effluent. The effluent will then be disposed of via a land-based application. This type of wastewater system is an excellent example of resource management and can be utilized in areas where soils are acceptable. Feasibility information regarding Shoreview Woods indicates that the soils are acceptable for this type of the facility. And that was signed by George P. Phillips, Director of Planning Coordination with Artesian Water Company Incorporated. Lastly, I received a memorandum from Sussex Conservation District dated August 14th of 2006. In reference to this application, the soils have been found to be Eastboro loamy sand, two types, Rumford loamy sand and Woodstown sandy loam. The Eastboro and Rumford soil has slight limitations for development. The Woodstown soil has slight to moderate limitations. The applicants would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. The Eastboro and Rumford soils are considered of statewide importance. The Woodstown soils are considered prime farmland type soils. There are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected. It may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared of the area and the site, and also a copy of a soil survey map number 28 of the same area. I was passed down a copy of a letter addressed to Mr. Rogers from Mr. and Mrs. Perry Templin. States that they are opposed to the conditional use of land in an AR1 district and GR district for the intended use. Our first and major concern is the added traffic to the already congested Route 9. This added traffic would cause a treacherous condition at Route 9 and Hudson Road. This would also cause a dangerous entering and exiting from or to Route 9 for all residents of Lazy Lake, Hudson, and Fisher Roads, including the residents of the proposed development. Has there ever been a traffic study done for this area? Secondly, the proposed development has been presented as preserving the wooded areas and creating a 50-foot buffer zone from the structures on to the property lines of the homeowners on Hudson Road and Lazy Lake. The developer stated at the August 10th Zoning and Planning Board meeting that in the plan, there would be a walking, hiking trail within the buffer zone, which would only be 30 feet from property lines of the aforementioned property owners. We emphatically oppose this. We see many bikes, four-wheelers, and all-terrain vehicles using this as their playground. We have seen this happen and continue to happen in other country, in other counties. Yes, we are sure it will be posted no vehicles, but who will enforce this? The police? No, they cannot, because they are so hard to apprehend due to the terrain and speed. During the winter, it will be snowmobiles, and then the forest will certainly be destroyed. Third, the environmental impact will be devastating to the pristine, quiet countryside. Two of the reasons why we picked this area. The developer has stated that he has walked through the property and did not observe any wildlife. We beg to differ. In the 25 plus years we have been at our property, we have observed squirrels, hummingbirds, deer, owls, red-winged blackbirds, goldfinches, skinks, hognose snakes, etc. Has any environmental studies ever been done by an expert? Our fourth concern is groundwater runoff. Approving this application with its many impervious surfaces and references, macadam, concrete driveways, parking lots, sidewalks, etc., will cause serious runoff and flooding all the surrounding properties. The residents of Hudson Road and Lazy Lake experience surge flooding now with any heavy rainfall. And oh yes, we understand there is a stormwater management in place, and that references the retention ponds and catch basins. We refer to those as mosquito breeding grounds, as seen up and down Route 9 developments between Route 1 and 5. How close are these retention ponds to the waste management areas? How close to our properties to our wells? How will our wells be impacted? Will they be contaminated? Currently on WBOC, they have reported how the housing market has been on a steady decline. We've heard this from some contractors and real estate agents. Are these homes, when finished, going to sit vacant for months because of the declining market? It perplexes us why any developer contractor would build homes near high tension line wires, and it behooves us why someone would want to live near them. We have seen reports of high cancer rates of people living near them. Please consider this as one of the reasons for not approving this application. In closing, we recommend before making your decision, do a traffic study, a soil study, a sound study, and an environmental study. Please do your homework. You will be impacting not only the homeowners, wildlife, traffic, but all the communities in the area. I'm thanking you for your careful consideration of this matter. Signed, Perry and Sharon Templin, And it says, P.S., please consider in the future of scheduling these hearings later. And it seems to be after 6 p.m. in the day, since most working people do not have the flexibility of attending in the middle of the day. That's all we have, gentlemen.
Is the applicant represented?
Yes, sir, Mr. Griffin.
Gene Byard on behalf of Wilkinson Properties. With me are Kevin Burdett and Keith Rudy from McCrone, and the principal of Wilkinson Properties, Steve Wilkinson. As Lawrence referenced, this is a project on a GRAR site in a level four area, according to the state spending strategies map. It's described by Connie Holland in her first plus letter as a rural area. You'll hear from Joe Conaway shortly, and you'll learn, as you probably already know, this is not a rural area. It is a rapidly developing, almost fully developed area. And what this property is really nothing more or less than an infill. I'd like to turn the podium over to Kevin Burdett and Keith Rudy to walk you through the site plan and the project booklet. And I may stop them with questions please feel free to stop either one with questions as they go forward.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am Kevin Burdett with McCrone Incorporated. The site that we have brought to you today is a site that has been looked at in an environmental sensitive frame of mind. When you count up all the green space around it, this site has been able to maintain 71% of the open space that's on the site. We are presently proposing 96 units. They're a condominium style unit, i.e. a townhome with common lot lines. We have attempted to maintain a forested buffer around the complete perimeter of the site where the woods presently exist. The width of this buffer is approximately 50 feet. From that buffer point to the rear of the units is approximately another 30 feet. Contained within this development, there are 0.9 miles of trails, plus another 1 mile of sidewalks. So there is ample multimodal movements within the development, as well along Route 9, a multimodal path will be installed per the DLDOT requirements. Early on in this project went through several metamorphosisms. We had the stormwater management located further back into the site after discussions with PLUS and a few of our other consulting agencies. We've opted to bring those stormwater management ponds, aesthetic ponds, to the front of the site so that you have a vague awareness of what this site will look like. As you presently drive by the site, obviously you've seen a lot of heavy equipment out there. That was the power company running new lines. And there's a woods line, if you look behind that equipment, that's kind of existing. That is the same woods line that we are proposing to keep. So in the future, as you ride down Route 9, you will see an area that's approximately a 200-foot grassed wide area with ponds in the front of it. The woods lines we are trying to maintain in the front so that you do not get a view of the development from Route 9. As you come into the development, we have again planted an area in the apex of the road split with trees. So as you come in the boulevard, you see trees versus the end of the homes. The development, as I said, we've maintained massive wooded areas in the back of the units. Between the units, we've made a natural area of the woods for a play area. These areas, again, as well, have been maintained in the natural value. The community area, pool area, has been brought to be able to tie into the existing 200-foot wide easement, the grassed area, so there'll be a lot of open field play area for the residents. We've allocated an area for a top lot playground. We've allocated an area for a multi-use function basketball court, etc., for children and teenagers. We have a bus stop, we have sidewalks, curb and gutter, and street lighting proposed throughout the development.
Stop right there for a second, Kevin. If this were just a single family grid subdivision, what would remain by way of open space?
By regulation or by requirements, we wouldn't have to keep any open space. And we have, in fact, done one gyration where the entire thing was platted out and lotted out, and I believe you'll find that in your book back on tab 20.
Tab 16, and we're going to be looking at what now?
In tab 16, you'll see several of the iterations that this project went through. One was from the single family lot layout, and you'll notice that the entire site was covered, the woods were taken out. You'll notice also, we had another arrangement of townhomes where there were 105 units located on the site that we have not chosen to bring forward. And in under tab 17, you will see the final concept that we are proposing, again, which is 96 units.
So the one with the laying out single-family home lots, I noticed there's 60 total that you... Is that right? Is that the right number I'm looking at?
Yes, sir.
So you're saying 95 townhouses is superior development over just 60 single-family type structures?
I believe 96 townhomes on 28 acres retaining 71% of the open space is superior development. Yes, sir, I do.
With the additional density?
Yes, sir.
Not, okay. Would you...
Again, looking at that development of the 60 homes,
well, I'm looking at
there
this,
is no...
I'm looking at this, and I know that there's still quite a bit of open space when you put in single-family homes. There's quite a bit of yards there and stuff in between.
There is private open space. Yards,
private open,
yes.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with private open space when your open space is open space, correct? What's more compatible with the surrounding... I think somebody referenced the development. I mean, Mr. Byard said this is infill, and this is a fully developed area. Fully developed in what way? Is there any other townhouse projects anywhere near this?
Can we defer that to
yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Conaway, Mr. Cole?
The answer is yes, but he will address that.
Oh, there are townhouses near there?
Yes, sir.
You'll hear
well, we'll
Mr.
find
Conaway.
Out, I guess. It's going to be a mystery to me, but I guess they're there somewhere. On paper, maybe, or somewhere. Okay, but this you don't think this one, showing single-family homes of 60 units, is not more compatible? Which would be more compatible? You're saying the townhouses are more compatible with the surrounding types of development?
I believe the townhouses prove to be more compatible when we look at the square footage that is allowed, or that we're anticipating within these townhomes of approximately 2,000 square feet. I think when we have the amenity packages that we have been able to place on the site of the central pool, the playground, the multi-purpose courts that the existing developments may not necessarily have.
Or need, maybe.
Perhaps. However, we are hearing constantly from Planning and Zoning Commission and other people within the county that those amenities are desired within developments to keep people off the street from going to someplace else to have their recreation.
And what kind of buyer, price range and buyer, or is this appealing to? Or do we ask Mr. Conaway that one also?
You can ask him. The easy answer, I think, is in a range, I believe, at the commission level. 200 to 250,000, which Mr. Conaway will tell you may fit into the affordable housing component of the county's ordinances.
Should I go on, sir?
Absolutely.
So as I say, we have the 50-foot buffer there, the 30-foot grassed area up to the rear of the homes. That is just to the rear property lines of the adjoining parcels. That is. Obviously, there's distance from there on up to their homes and their private open space. One of the comments that we did hear in a letter form today was about inappropriate activities on those recreational trails. And obviously, because these trails are going to be maintained by the Condominium Association, I feel pretty strongly that they're not going to want those trails torn up either. And self-policing is far better than external policing. We have... maintained central water will be provided to this site with fire protection. Central wastewater, primary tertiary treatment. Again, we have artesian water, wastewater providing the wastewater to this site.
Kevin, stop right there. You've had an opportunity to review that letter that Lawrence read from artesian.
Yes, sir.
Is the substance of that letter that central water will have no negative impact on neighboring wells?
The substance of that letter is, and in fact, because it is a utility company, they are regulated not only by the Department of Natural Resources and the Delaware State Health Department, but also by the Public Service Commission here in the state for potable drinking water to make sure that any ramifications or any system they have, they would be held liable and they would have to replace anything they damaged.
It's the substance of that letter also that a central sewer system will have no impact on neighboring septic systems.
Yes, sir, it is. Again, the Department of Natural Resources monitors that very, very closely.
Proceed.
The entire development does meet all the code, and we can certainly go through those if you gentlemen would like this afternoon of 99-9. Again, I believe that with the layout of the property, with the adjoining properties, We have made every effort to make this a compatible residence, neighboring development. We see no objectionable vistas or views from adjoining developments, two that would see the structures here on this. Again, if you can, if you need a visualization, the 50 feet of solid woods would be from me to approximately the front doors of this building, and the to the rear of the townhomes would be out to like the center of, or the front edge of the driveways around the circle here. So with that said,
can you put the board on the floor up on the easel and explain that to the council?
These are renderings of the anticipated homes that the client, our client, feels that he's going to be building in the facility or in the development. You'll notice that these are townhomes. They do have garages. It is anticipated at this point that these are to be 2,000 square foot plus units. These units are presently being built in other places here on the shore, and this style of unit is the style of unit that our client is desiring to build on this facility.
Again, they the will, size?
Approximately 2,000 square feet, and they're 28 feet wide, I believe.
And I believe you referenced streetlights, sidewalks.
There will be. There will be streetlights, sidewalks throughout the development, a bus shelter for school pickup, and parking spaces adjacent to the bus shelter for delivery and drop-off of residents of their children. Also, it should be noted that we are proposing with these homes the garages, single or double garages, and we do have driveways coming to them so we can meet all parking ordinances as they presently exist.
How many units per building?
That actually varies, Mr. Cole. If you look at, again,
but the most you'd have is what, five or six?
I believe it's six in a cluster, sir.
All right, so we're going to see.
Questions, Mr. Carroll?
Mr. Burdett.
Yes, sir.
Tab 18. You got a layout comparison table here.
Yes, sir.
Looks like you got 3.69 acres AR1.
Yes, sir.
So you're saying that you could get seven permitted units there?
Yes, sir.
And then you got 24.49 GR at 4 would be 98.
Yes, sir.
So you've built what your permitted zoning is now. You could get 105 in there?
Yes, sir.
Only as townhouses?
No, sir, under the existing regulation as far as density.
Well, your drawing of single family home only showed 60.
That's if we built just straight single families.
Right.
Yes. Right, so that's all it's approved for. I mean, there's no townhouses that are not permitted.
He's got 24 acres, 24 and a half acres of GR.
This, but you can't put townhouses in GR, Dale.
I understand.
If you look at tab 17, he has a layout of showing single home properties, whether it's a mobile home, it's a modular home, or a stick-built home, which a GR permits. They only show 60 lots.
Well, I'm not
in a single-family home
not
subdivision.
Not to promote the debate, Mr. Cole, but where, as you know, central water and central sewer available lots in a GR district may be diminished to a size of 7,500 square feet. That's how you get to it.
I'm just basing it on your plan.
Okay, so you could then, going on to the next page, you could put in 98 mobile homes in the GR district.
Yes, sir.
So regardless of what they are, but so all you're doing is converting from the mobile homes in the GR to townhouses. Is what you're asking for?
Yes, sir.
That's all it is.
That's
Mr. Conway will speak to that.
But Dale, there's an easement going through the property with Delmarva Power easement, and when you take all that into consideration, there's no way they can get anywhere near that in the subdivision. They show their own plan shows only 60 is all they could squeeze in.
Single family, right.
Right. So that's as a mobile home, single family, modular, whatever you want. Well, 60. That's tab 17. And
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And we can debate all day long. And
no, I'm just
I don't
using
that's
your drawing.
But if you look at our drawing, you'll notice that there's ample room. If I can bring this back up again, there's ample room ahead of that easement
where we have not set the homes directly or the buildable area directly against the easement, which is allowable by law. We didn't think people wanted to go out their back door and have the pole right there. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how the case may be, that has been done in other developments around the area.
What are you pointing out now that I overlooked?
Where the edge, the rear edge of that home, the buildable area, could sit right at the easement line. There is nothing
where the power lines are?
Yes, sir.
And you could get some more lots, you're saying?
Yes, sir, you could.
How many more do you think you get?
Probably 10 or 12.
10 or 12. So they would still put you far shy of, okay. I won't debate it with you, but you showed a plan showing 60, which is fairly realistic in my opinion of what you could do on that side.
Okay.
Right?
Moving right along.
So I don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Bordash.
Nice question. Okay.
One thing I omitted to ask you, Kevin, was there a forest inventory done on a rare plant?
There was a forest inventory that was walked through. We found, and a comment came about, we saw, the comment was, we said we saw no animals on the site. That's not what was said. Our report said there was, they did not see any endangered species on that site. Yeah. There was a report done by a forester on the trees that are on that site. Yes, sir.
And to the extent possible, the valuable trees will be preserved?
To the extent possible, the valuable trees will not only be preserved, but again, our client, by, and you'll notice into this design, we are going to select cut, not clear cut, the site. So the areas that will be cleared are the areas that fall within the roadway and within the townhouse clusters. Now, our client has also said that he would like to reforest, replant street trees and envelope trees back from native species that are on the site. So instead of just cutting those trees down, trees that are movable, we will relocate to areas where they can be maintained onto the site. Again, some areas up here in the front.
Is that something you'd like to see as a condition, or is that something that is just conceptually being discussed here today?
It's up to the commission, as we said in the immediately prior application, but it's certainly something the developer would want to do.
So you wouldn't mind seeing it as a condition? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think that's what I just said.
I want to make sure.
Other questions of Kevin? Hearing none. Mr. Conway.
Beat him up to it.
Good afternoon. This is my semi or biannual coming from the back of the room to appear in front of County Council, and it's a pleasure to be here. I'm Joe Conaway, land use consultant. I'm also a licensed Dell real estate agent since 1989 with Cooper Realty. Let me make something real clear, real quick. It has been a practice in my professional life that I don't sell property that I represent in the land use capacity. So I don't represent this as a sale. I'm sure it will be handled by competent realtors, but it will not be Joe Conaway. I was asked to look at the area from a planning point of view and what's going on in that area, and that's exactly what I did. I read the letter from Plus, and I wondered where they rode, because I did ride all of those roads and saw what is in fact going on in that area. Harbison is not an incorporated town, but it does have all the characteristics of a town. And although the Allen Family Food Plant is north of this site, or I'm sorry, west of this site, it's still a heavy industrial zone of well over 70 acres that exists there now. Commercial development along Route 9 is ongoing. It had started years ago when I sat where Mr. Godwin sits now. And I remember the Parrot place being approved by then Mr. Cole, your father. And it was
the beginning.
Point out that commercial development on Route 9 has been going on.
Yeah. Big difference.
The intersection at Route 9 is all commercial. And if you look at Figure 30, you'll see all of the commercial development that is going on along this route. I have additional pictures, but I think the applicant has provided a number of them that are there. If you leave the Harbison area immediately, you'll find a brand new subdivision known as Beaver Creek. It's under construction now, a number of single-family homes. Just east of that project is a subdivision of 149 lots known as Hunter's Mill, and that is a modular, predominantly modular, housing project. Continuing in an easterly way, you'll come to Shoreview Woods, which is the proposal here. I've heard prices quoted. I'm told, and I heard again today, that the prices of houses would run from $200,000 to $250,000. Moderately priced housing programs run by this county and by the city of Bridgeville begin at $225,000. So there is a market for that. Continuing east, there is continued commercial development. In fact, the new office buildings that are there on the right there is still construction going on at this time. Immediately adjacent to our property on the north is a subdivision known as Lazy Lake, and that's 151 lots. It's a mixed subdivision of single wides, double wides, modulars, and stick-built homes. It's very well kept, very well maintained subdivision. Immediately south of our site are a number of existing subdivisions, including Cool Spring Farms, Cool Spring Village, Cool Spring Manor, and Shady Rest Park. All of those are there. The closest residence to this property is a single-wide mobile home. Further east from the property is Tall Pines Campground. That's located on Log Cabin Road. Question was raised about townhouses. I misspoke at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, said about a mile from here. The actual, it's about 3 miles from here, and I measured that. The townhouse market, there are 38 approved under construction and for sale townhouses in Mills Chase. 31 have already been sold. So the market for townhouses certainly is real. The reserves.
The question earlier mm-hmm. I was asking was, what is the closest? So you're saying
I'm saying 3 miles.
Yes. 3 miles down
east
the road.
Of east. This property. The Reserves at Lewis is an upscale single-family residential development, and Sussex West is also a manufactured home leased community that's also east of this property. Both east and west of this property are major Delmarva Power and Light substations. Provide electricity for this rapidly growing area. If you look in a textbook for land use planning, it tells you you should have commercial, then it should have your townhouses, then single family. This isn't a straight line situation, but it certainly meets all the requirements of good land use planning in that you have quite a mix of what is already there. And as Mr. Byer indicated, this is really an infill project. This parcel is available. Additional townhouses certainly would be in keeping at this price level. We're talking about folks like firemen and teachers, paramedics, people that you've spent a lot of time trying to help find homes in this rapidly escalating housing market. So they would find that market, and that's where I believe it's aimed. With commercial, industrial, and residential development all firmly entrenched in this area, this subdivision will add to the housing stock in eastern Sussex as a much-needed alternative for both the local buyer and the visiting buyer. And with that, I'll be delighted to answer any questions that you have relevant to that area.
Before you do that, let me ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
In your opinion, this project developed as proposed, would it have any negative impact on property values in the area, in your opinion?
Looking at the houses, the models that they're proposing, I don't see how it could. I think it would be in keeping with the values of properties there, and in fact, it may enhance the values in that area.
Focusing your attention on Mills Chase, which you described, that's at the intersection of Route 9 and Minus Conaway
Road, yes.
Can you describe what's in a circle around Mills Chase?
There are very, I would call them estate homes behind it.
That's the north of Acres?
Mm-hmm. Then you have Sussex West across the street.
Mobile home community.
Mobile home community who has permission to expand its total number of units and has slowly been doing that towards Mills Chase. and across the street is the Reserves at Lewis.
Which is a single-family
Single-family subdivision.
Is that a stick-built subdivision?
Absolutely. All of those, with the exception of Sussex West, are stick-built.
So four immediately neighboring properties, you have large homes, mobile homes, townhouses, and stick-built single-family properties, and they seem to exist in harmony?
It appears that they are existing very well in harmony.
No questions of Joe?
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Nice seeing you, George.
Good seeing you. Tell my father you're. I was telling my father you're asking for him.
That's the application.
I'll tell you the story later. You don't need to tell me any story.
Any other questions?
I don't believe any of them.
If not, thank you for your attention.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Could you, starting with the lady next to the aisle, could you come forward and please state your name and tell us where you live?
My name is Patricia Perkins. I live at 205 North Lake Drive. I am basically representing everybody on North Lake Drive. It's not on there, of course. Our biggest opposition is the fact that the area is, of course, all nicely built homes and single-family homes, and to put in that area condominiums or townhouses is definitely out of whack compared to what is there now. The amount of traffic for senior citizens to have to handle going, coming and going on Route 9 and coming out of the Hudson Road right now is really pathetic. It takes so much time just to get on Route 9. And especially at like the morning hours and afternoon hours, it's almost impossible. The weekends have so much traffic coming from and to the shore points. And add all this traffic into it, no matter how the driveway goes, is not realistic. The other thing that we were concerned about was the sewage affecting our